Hi, this is Michael Bolton, Opera of Philadelphia's Vice President of Community Programs, and thank you for joining me for this podcast on Theodore Morrison and John Cox's Oscar. The opera, recounting the trial and incarceration of Oscar Wilde, is a co-commission and co-production with the Santa Fe Opera and receives its East Coast premiere at the Glorious Academy of Music for 5 performances only from February 6th through February 15th. This is the 4th opera in Opera Philadelphia's American Repertoire Program, an initiative to produce at least one new American work every season for a decade. Theodore Morrison and John Cox's Oscar is about the legendarily flamboyant Oscar Wilde. Some have called Wilde the first modern man, the first 20th century man, his wit, intellect, confidence acting as a style for the modern age. He was famous throughout the world until his scandalous love affair with Lord Alfred Douglas, nicknamed Bosie, and the machinations of Bosie's father, the Marquess of Queensberry, ruined his reputation, devastated his private life, and left Wilde, once the toast of the literary world, penniless. For one of history's greatest wits, it was a shattering downfall to a life noted for its fearless humor, passion, and hubris. His detractors and enemies perceived this downfall as a very fitting comeuppance. Joining him is a singer beloved to Philadelphia audiences, tenor William Burton, who, along with soprano Heidi Stober in her company debut, co-star as Wilde's loyal friends, and also in the cast is renowned baritone Duane Croft, also making his company debut as Walt Whitman. Whitman serves as not only Wilde's American friend, but acts as a guide throughout the opera. And Australian dancer Reid Luplow portrays Wilde's great love, Bosie, who represents a variety of characters in Wilde's imagination throughout the opera. A porter, a waiter, the doctor at the prison, and even death itself. And it's as these various characters that we see almost Wilde's complete devotion, and that he can see aspects of Bosie in each of these different people throughout the opera. In this podcast, we'll review a little bit about the history behind the story of Oscar, hear brief interviews with Theo Morrison and countertenor David Daniels, and let you know about how you can pick up tickets for this opera. If the opera takes us on a journey through Wilde's downfall, it ultimately tells a tale of compassion and humanity as we see Wilde's evolution from this haughty socialite writer to empathetic prisoner and heroic member of the Immortals, a celestial group of history's greatest writers headed by his friend Walt Whitman. In 1882, Walt Whitman met Oscar Wilde when the Irishman was touring the United States. If Walt Whitman was a national celebrity, nobody knew who Oscar Wilde was. Hired by Gilbert and Sullivan to promote the upcoming U.S. tour of their operetta Patience, while introducing and explaining the new aesthetic movement to the American public, Wilde was only 28 years old at the time and had yet to make his name in the world as a writer. And the works that would catapult him to fame, The Picture of Dorian Gray, Lady Windermere's Fan, would come almost a decade later. When Wilde met Bosie in the summer of 1891, he was 37 years old, married, had 2 children, had had a series of affairs with men, but wasn't very open about them publicly. It was a hidden secret. Bosie was a 22-year-old Oxford student and brazenly and openly homosexual. The two, despite a volatile relationship, would remain almost inseparable until Wilde's arrest 4 years later. Bosie was the youngest son of the Marquess of Queensberry, and father and son hated each other. Stuck in the middle was Oscar Wilde. And Queensberry seemed out to get Wilde, raised public objection about Wilde's relationship with the son, even. Queensberry arrived at the Albemarle Club, a private gentleman's club, and delivered a note to be given to Wilde, which basically said that Wilde was a sodomite. And despite the advice of his friends, which said just to ignore the note, Bosie forced Wilde to sue Queensberry for libel, hoping that it would disgrace his father. It backfired, and Queensberry won the case. Wilde was tried, convicted, and jailed for gross indecency, punished to 2 years hard labor, a fate considered worse than death by some, especially those of the gentleman class, and prison life was excruciating for Wilde. This very gregarious man was kept in solitary confinement, denied access to all literature and writing materials. Eventually, he was transferred to Reading Prison, where he was given access to those materials. And while he was there in Reading Prison, between January and March 1897, he wrote a 50,000-word letter to Bosie. Forbidden to send it while he was incarcerated, Wilde addressed every aspect of his life, his career, his relationship with Bosie. He examined himself. Eventually, this letter would be published posthumously in a collection of his letters and called De Profundis. He also witnessed the hanging execution of Charles Thomas Wooldridge, a trooper from the Royal Horse Guards, and this event greatly disturbed Wilde and is recounted in Wilde's poem, The Ballad of Reading Jail. This moment is also shown in the opera, and it's pivotal because it shows the poet's empathy and compassion growing and growing in unbounded measures as he has that evolution from haughty socialite to empathetic person. The opera is composed by Theodore Morrison, and he came about opera composition almost accidentally. After decades of success as a conductor, he turned to composition in his early 40s and created several large pieces for chorus and orchestra, numerous chamber, orchestral, and choral works, and several song cycles. Writing opera was new to him. And in an interview for the Santa Fe Opera, the co-commissioning organization, he shared how his opera career happened.
I had gone to London to hear David Daniels sing the British premiere of my song cycle on poems by James Joyce. And it was a fantastic performance. And then I went backstage afterwards to greet David, and a tall gentleman came in and introduced himself as John Cox. I didn't know John, but he said he was an opera director. And then John said, "Have you ever written an opera?" And I said, "No, but I would certainly like to write one for David." He said, "Well, here's my card. If you're interested in discussing this more, please be in touch." David and I had a chat, and we tried to figure out what would be a good subject for an opera for him. He's a countertenor, and he sings in the mezzo-soprano range. It so happens that Max Beerbohm, one of Oscar's famous friends, said that Oscar had a mezzo voice, a very expressive mezzo voice, and I thought, oh my golly, that's just the right thing for David, and the subject is something that David was very excited about. And I got to know this man, John Cox, and found that he was really a poet. And he had been an opera director all his life, and he's become my mentor in stagecraft, in writing music for the stage. And he has been a rigorous and demanding mentor, and I've learned so much. I'm 74 years old and very happy to be in school, as it were, with this great and wonderful opera person.
Starring in this production is internationally renowned countertenor David Daniels in the title role. And in interviews, he has said that he hopes that Oscar will be the highlight of his career. The opera is clearly a very personal project for the singer, who was recently married to his longtime partner Scott Walters by United States Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But what does he want audiences to come away with after seeing Oscar? Here's what he had to say in an interview.
The fact that I am a gay man and he was a gay man, the fact that I've experienced homophobia my life, but not to the point of being put in prison, but just the fear of what he was put through certainly resonates hugely today. And that is where I got the most excited about this story. I think that's really important that it be told as a human story and as an emotional story. And what I hope the audience takes away from this is a story that is relevant today. A feeling of love and acceptance for things that are different that might be scary to some people. And, you know, I've had a lot of personal things in my life happen where I've seen this kind of persecution happen, and it still happens a lot. And I'm hoping that this touches people, as any artistic anything it makes people think, and it makes people leave the theater changed.
One of the more fascinating aspects of the opera's extraordinary libretto is that it is filled with quotes by Wilde, Whitman, Bozzi, and Frank Harris. Both Morrison and Cox consulted over 50 books and articles about Wilde to create a libretto based on Wilde's own writings, like De Profundis and The Ballad of Reading Gaol. In addition to David Daniels in the title role, we have soprano Heidi Stober as Ada Leverson, tenor William Burden as Frank Harris, and baritone Dwayne Croft as Walt Whitman. The production is directed by Kevin Newbery, who staged our wonderful Zalame last season in collaboration with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and choreography is by Sean Curran, and Evan Rochester conducts. Opera Philadelphia's production of Theodore Morrison and John Cox's Oscar runs from February 6th through February 15th. Tickets are on sale now, and you can buy your tickets online at operaphila.org. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram with the name Opera Phila. If you're attending the opera, you can join me, Mike Bolton, for a free preview talk, Opera Overtures, held 1 hour before every performance. And if you have any questions about this podcast, feel free to contact me directly at outreach@operaphila.org. That's outreach@operaphila.org. Again, this is Mike Bolton. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I hope to see you at the opera.